Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. In our podcast episode this week, I'm going to ask, who's in charge? Are you a thought leader or a thoughtless leader? If you're new to the podcast, I'm super happy that you're here. This podcast is all about helping you become an intentional communicator. And the podcast is based on the books Brief, Make a Bigger Impact by Saying Less, Noise, Living Leading When Nobody Can Focus, and Quiet Works, Making Silence the Secret Ingredient of the Workday. When I wrote these three books together, they form a trilogy called Clarity at Work. And if you want more information about that, you can get it at thebrieflab.com. I am really motivated to do this podcast today because it's been something that I've been thinking about for a while. Because thought leadership is a term that you hear and people throw it out there like, I want to be a thought leader. It's almost like an aspiration. And it's a pretty common term, but I would say that it's probably way more aspirational than actual for people. And when I go back to my days in marketing and public relations and working in the media, I had so many clients that put that as one of their goals, is I want to be a thought leader. And what prompted me this week to do the podcast was a conversation I had with somebody, and they're like, I want to be a thought leader. And it got me thinking like, oh, okay, well, what would that actually look like to be a thought leader? And what does that really mean? First and foremost, what it means is spending a lot more time thinking. Because you're a thought leader. Your thoughts are different than other people's thoughts. And you start to think about thought leaders in who come to mind. You know, you've got like guys like Adam Grant and Brené Brown and CEOs, Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, maybe Richard Branson talking about entrepreneurship, or, you know, you might have your own thought leadership, people that you go to. You'll often find them on social media, like in LinkedIn, and they have large followings and they post things. Patrick Lencioni is one of mine. He's wrote a number of books that are really great books. He started a company called The Table Group. And really he is, I think, a true thought leader. And there's many different shapes and sizes of thought leaders. And you can have them in different segments. You can have them in business and psychology and military strategy. And you can have it in the environment and economics and theology and philosophy and a whole host of different areas. But the question is, are you a thought leader? Do you want to be a thought leader? Or are you a thoughtless leader? And what do I mean by that? Well, a lot of people want to be thought leaders, but they don't do enough thinking. And it requires quite a bit. So as I take you through some considerations here, what I want you to be thinking about is you might operate in a domain where you actually have a perspective on a topic that could help lead others to change, to evolve, to establish new guidelines, standards, directions of industries, organizations, where people might look to you for thought leadership. They may look for you for this perspective about what's coming. Friend of mine who wrote the foreword to the book Noise, a guy named Mike Bechtel, is the chief futurist at Deloitte. Really smart guy, great guy. And I'm going to be seeing him in a few weeks. When he wrote the foreword to Noise, more than 5 years ago, he was just assuming this role at Deloitte as a chief futurist, which that's a pretty heavy job, So people are looking for him for guidance and direction about the future. He spends a lot of time talking about things like AI. In fact, it's a big platform. So when you think about thought leadership, it does require spending a lot of time thinking. Let's use that as the starting point. And I'm just going to walk you through kind of five areas where if a person has a role or desires a role or sees, you may see yourself or a person that you know in a role of thought leadership, what do you need to be thinking and doing in that role? Well, number one is you have to have a clear and compelling perspective. That perspective on a topic needs to be well thought out. It needs to be well conceived. It needs to be compelling. Why? Because you're leading people in how you talk about that. So it's got to be compelling. And the ones that I've seen and referenced earlier, and there are more, you know, you've got like Reid Hoffman, who's the co-founder of LinkedIn, and there's a whole host of them. I'm sure you have lists right now as I'm talking about this in the area of thought leadership. Maybe you're one of them. Is what is your perspective? What do you think? Because people want to know what your expertise and how does it translate into, you know, what's to come or what's happening or why things happen this way. So number one, a clear and compelling perspective. Second one is credible experience. If you want to do this or you feel compelled to do this or you feel like you're qualified to do this or somebody, what experience do you have? And is that experience related? Is it relevant? Is it believable? So having some life experience, this conversation that I had recently with this person, clearly there was some life experience, but not a lot. There's limited life experience. Well, I would think that thought leadership would run thin when that person couldn't go back on. Now, I don't mean that a person has to be old or have been doing something for 40 years, but having some body of experience in an area to give you credibility would be critical. The third thing is just consistent outreach. I think consistency over time is a big consideration. You can't just talk about something and then stop talking about it. You have to be knowledgeable about it, experienced in it, but willing and committed to be talking about it and leading in this area for a while. So let's say a person wants to be a thought leader in, the oil and gas industry. Well, there's got to be some consistency in talking about the topics. So those people would be maybe writing a blog, maybe recording a podcast, writing LinkedIn newsletters, articles, white papers, giving speeches, going to conferences, but consistently over time. You can't just show up and you want to talk about, I don't know, the future of electric aviation as a thought leader and you just do it once, right? You probably need to join associations or be part of networks or be connected to other people that are in that industry, but over a span of time. So I would say consistency and consistent outreach or connection within that industry or segment or area over a period of time would be critical. I think number four is a generosity to share. And when a person is a thought leader, not a thoughtless leader, they're compelled to share a perspective, but they're generous with it. So they want to do the work and they want to give that to others for their benefit. They're not going to hold on to it. They're not going to protect it. They're not going to hide it. There's going to be like a willingness to share that with a lot of people. I'll go back to one of the examples I gave earlier, a guy named Patrick Lencioni. His last name is spelled Lencioni. Now, he's written a number of books. You may be familiar, you may not be, but he wrote a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. It's a leadership fable. The Advantage, which I think is a great book. The Ideal Team Player. Death by Meeting. So he's written a number of books as a thought leader. Well, one of the things about Patrick Lencioni, as I've been told by people who work with him, is he's generous. I saw a talk that he gave on YouTube, and it was with some church leaders. And it was him sharing a perspective on helping, you know, church leaders manage change. It seems to me that a person like that is very generous with his time. He's giving. And if you have a leadership position, you know that really great leaders are givers. They're generous. They don't hoard their time. They're generous with their time. And I think the last thing is humility. Humility to lead. You know, a number of years ago, it was actually when I was in college, I had to give I was part of this honor society, and I was the president of this honor society, and I was elected, and I had to give a speech to hand over the leadership to the new president when I was a senior. And I actually talked about leadership, and that leadership is something that it's a responsibility that you assume. You have the humility to assume responsibility that I have, there is a need and for leadership, for people to lead. And in this area, there's a perspective, there's thought leadership that I have the humility to lead and accept that role, accept that I'm not the only voice in that regard, because pride can come into case where a person's like, well, my perspective is the only perspective, so I don't listen to the insight, perspective, opinions of others. And also that people admit error. That's part of the humility of it. You know, thought leaders can be very, very opinionated people. And I think that they can say, this is what's going to happen to the world. This is my opinion. It's all about my opinion. And they can often be wrong. How many times have you seen a person go back and say, you know what? I said this was, you know, I don't know, making this up, but like cryptocurrency would be, you know, a mainstream, you know, currency in society by the year, blah, 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 only to find out that it wasn't, or that theory was somehow flawed and they didn't admit that they were wrong. So when you look at the characteristics of things that consider is a person assumes a role of a thought leader, as maybe even aspires or recognizes that they may have a role as a thought leader, go back to the list, right? Number one, you got to have a clear and a compelling perspective on the topic or the topics that relate to that area of thought leadership. You have to have credible experience in the area. You've been there, you've done that, you've done time, you've got experience, and it's really believable. Number three is you're consistent. Over time, you've been delivering. You don't just show up periodically. You're in it for the long haul. Number four, you have a generosity to share, to be with time, be with others, to give them your time. And then finally, number five is humility. Humility to lead, to accept that role, that responsibility, that commitment, and not being so proud that you don't have any influence, input, or the opinions of other people. And that really becomes the characteristic of a great thought leader. Again, let's go back to why am I doing this? This is an area that some people, not many, may play. You may see yourself as a thought leader or emerging as one. You may know somebody that sees themselves as a thought leader or might be one or need to be one or could become one that you can encourage in this regard. Oftentimes people who are thought leaders write books. Now I am, as an author writing a book, I think that your perspective on book writing can be different. My perspective in writing was reluctant because it became really clear to me that it was something that I needed to do to support the business that I was pulled into, to teaching people how to be clear and concise. Some people write books for notoriety and they create this whole sense of aura of thought leadership and it just rings hollow. Because at the end of the day, the fifth thing about humility is they don't have any humility and it's all about getting on a stage and giving speeches, whatever. And if writing a book, I'm just thinking like a book like Atomic Habits. I have not read it, but it's consistently like ranked as the number one in some lists that I get. You know, James Clear is the author of that book. Well, I'm assuming that he had all the characteristics of a thought leader when he wrote that book, and it wasn't about him, but he's got to do all the things that I just outlined because that's his job. And if you think about anybody in that regard of thought leadership, it's a burden, it's a responsibility, it's a calling. But you've got to go back to, is my perspective compelling? Is it clear? Well, that requires a lot of thinking, a lot of quiet dedicated to thinking about these things. Your experiences from the past, a lot of reflection on what has transpired in your life or in other people's lives. This commitment to time, like I got to commit myself to this. I'm sure that you don't just write a book or do a podcast or a blog and do it once. You got to be committing yourself to doing this for a long time and have the generosity and humility to see it through. Those are all the characteristics I believe deeply that would make this person who said to me a few weeks ago, I want to be a thought leader, maybe want to shy away from that. Or if they really want to do it, realize what they're actually asking for, because it's a big deal. It does require a concerted effort, a commitment to see it through. So here's the challenge. If you want to be this, remember this, a true thought leader thinks deeply, communicates with clarity, and leads others with ideas that can translate to action. At some point, this action happens, hopefully in our lifetime. Just saying.